Sabantu for May. Food and famine.
With the coming of May, the harvests are beginning to ripen up all over the country. And the native people will have a fair idea by now just how tight their belts will have to be drawn in, or, if the rains have been kind, let out. Just imagine it. Supposing you or I were directly dependent upon our own crops only for our food supply, or at least for our staple diet. Just imagine how terribly important rain would be. The plain, unvarnished fact in the African countryside is that if there are no rains, there are no eats. No wonder we find religious ceremonies of one sort or another to pray for rain. We still pray for rain in some of our own churches. That there are so-called rainmakers whose job it is to organize and officiate at rain ceremonies. If you and I lived on the edge of fortune to that extent, we too would pray for rain with the best of them. How we did it might be a little quaint at times, but the ceremonies would have just the one objective: to leave no stone unturned, mentally or spiritually, that might possibly hold up the physical appearance of rain, which means food. Rain and food, food and rain, never-ending topics of conversation in the native reserve. Instead of saying, "How do you do?" "Very well, thank you." They may even say as a greeting at such times, "Have you eaten?" "Yes, thank you, I have eaten." There's a simple elemental camaraderie in that greeting. We've all heard of the traditional hospitality of native people amongst themselves. Hospitality to travellers. Hospitality to friends or acquaintances who are down on their luck. If a native is out of work in the country, and even in town locations, he's hardly ever entirely out of eats. His friends share, literally share, their last crust of bread or plate of porridge. I remember a little song which I heard in the famine year of 1921-22. It went something like this. Ndozia, hande gone kuria namajaya u. Ndozia, iya, iya, ndozia, iya, 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 hande gone kuria namajaya u. Ndozia, iya, iya, iya. It was the song of an old man who says he's dying, ndozia, in the cold sweat of death. He is now too old to eat with the young men. In that famine, very old men and women were known to have gone out into the veld, sit down under a tree, eat their last scrap of food, drink their last sip of water, and set about dying, actually giving up the ghost, so that the younger people might live. Yes, famine. Most African peasants can tell you just how painful that word can be. Now here's a song about a greedy man in time of famine who took all the best food for himself, leaving very little for his wife and children. He was so selfish, eventually they all got up and left him to his fate with nothing, and serve him right.
Kudoti sazara bakune dzimwe dzimba chitipe vana yavatipei ni baba angira ndini gute ndoga asi mukadzoka zodzoka akafunge zano akaimba echiti
ndende wondinde ndende wondinde wondinde ndende wondinde ndende wondinde ngirande
ngoti chimusava chamabvuwa mukati tomanya nacho kuna baba angira nde
ndende wondinde ndende wondinde wondinde ndende wondinde ndende wondinde ngirande
ngoti zvinzungu zvamamenya mukati tomanya nazo kuna baba angira nde
ndende wondinde ndende wondinde wondinde ndende wondinde ndende wondinde ngirande
kusawa cha manongo kukati mkati tondo baba bangira nde
linde honinde linde honinde honinde linde honinde.
That song comes from Rhodesia. You know, our expression, tighten your belts, used to have a very poignant meaning in Africa when the great impis of the robber chieftains ravaged the whole countryside. One report on the subject refers to the Zulus of the early part of the last century.
Sometimes, especially when returning from an unsuccessful war, the Kaffirs are put to great straits for want of food, and have recourse to the strangest expedients for allaying hunger. They begin by wearing a belt, that is, a belt passed several times round the body and arranged so as to press upon the stomach and take off for the time the feeling of faint sickness that accompanies hunger before it develops into starvation. As the hours pass on and the faintness again appears, the hunger belt is drawn tighter and tighter.
And as this goes on, they must look more and more like wasps. But all this refers to lack of food. Perhaps a knowledge of the ever-present threat of scarcity makes us appreciate more keenly the outlook of those who are on the edge of it. And today, the same is happening in those European countries which Hitler has reduced to this level by a return to robber chieftain principles in their most barbaric form. But let's get back to food. In the hundreds of books on the native peoples of Africa, there are generally references to what they eat and how they eat it, and here are three typical examples written by well-known South African research workers. First, an extract from The Social System of the Zulus by E.J. Krieger.
An important part of the Zulu diet is amasi, or curds of milk. The milk is poured into calabashes containing a little thick milk, which causes it to turn more quickly, and the whey is let out by means of a hole in the bottom or sucked out through a reed. The curds are then eaten with a spoon or used in the preparation of some other dish.